verse 18 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Four things that I want to say about what we have just witnessed. Four things about baptism. Number one, baptism is a command. It's not a cult. It's not a superstition. This is not holy water. There's nothing magic here. It's not a sacrament of the church. You say, but it's a custom of the gospel hall. No. You say it's a piece of holy tradition. It has been invented by a college of cardinals. No. Baptism is none of those things. Not a custom, not a sacrament, not a secret cult. No. It's a command. By who? By the greatest person that was ever on planet Earth. Jesus Christ said, Tell people, repent of their sins, trust in me, and tell them to be baptized. And what we have done tonight, what we have seen, what Rianne Trotman and what Jemima Penfold have undergone has been done because Jesus Christ commanded it. No other guru, no other teacher, no other religious leader or figurehead. I say again, Jesus Christ. Who was Jesus Christ? Do you know who he was? Well, you say, he was a great teacher. He was, but he was far more than that. You say, but he was a prophet. Even the Muslims believe that. He was a prophet. He was far more than that. Who was Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was God's Son, sent into this world because we are sinners. We couldn't save ourselves. There was no possibility that we would ever get to heaven. You know what happened? He left heaven. He came here. He died upon the cross that our sins might be forgiven. And when he rose from the dead, he gave his disciples this command. He said, You go. And you do. We do this because we have been told to do it. Not by a committee. Not by some closeted group of educated people. Not by some kind of a secret sect. We do this because we were told to do it by no less a person than God's eternal Son. It's a command of Jesus Christ, who died, rose again, sits tonight in heaven, and he's alive forevermore. And the future of this world is in his hands. They wonder, how will history end? Will somebody press a button and the whole thing will explode? No, history will end when Jesus Christ brings it to a close. Every person in this place, old, young, male, female, England, Ireland, Scotland, every person in this room tonight and every person outside of this room will have a personal interview with Jesus Christ. Don't run away from him. Don't ignore him. Don't curse him. Don't blaspheme him. Don't take his name as a swear word. He's the most important person ever to come within the radar of human experience. What we did tonight, we did it because it is a command. Two, baptism is not only a command. Baptism, according to what we have read here, is a confession. These two girls made a public confession. We were here to see it. It was obvious. It was visible. It was verbal. Rehan and Jemima, they both made the same confession. Confession of what? Confession of sins? No. When these two girls trusted Christ, one a few months ago, one a couple of years ago, the moment each of them trusted Christ, their sins were completely forgiven. They didn't confess their sins tonight. You see that water? That water, if you had twice as much water, it couldn't take away any sin. The only thing that can cleanse sins before the face of God is the precious blood of Christ. It's not water, or it's not ceremony, and it's not sacrament. What did they confess? Well, number one, they confessed their acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There was a time, you heard they both said, when Mr. Castles said to each one of them in turn, "Have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior?" They both said, "In turn, I have." They accepted him because they knew that as sinners, there was no salvation outside of Christ. As long as people keep Christ at arm's length, there's no salvation. It was a great moment when these girls, it's the biggest day in my life. I was quite young as well. And as a sinner, I acknowledged I was unfit for God's holy heaven, but that God gave his Son to die for a sinner like me. And I accepted, they confessed their acceptance of the Lord Jesus as Savior. A second thing they confessed. They confessed their association with him. They belonged to him. A third thing they confessed was not only acceptance and association with Christ, they confessed that they now unreservedly bow to his authority. He is their Lord. Who's your Lord? Well, you say my Lord's atheism. Is it? Is atheism the prevailing philosophy in your life? I want to say, should there be anyone here and you have subscribed to atheism, you have given your mind, heart and soul to a bankrupt philosophy. Someone else here says, what dictates my life is sport. Look at how many of the great mega stars of sport. It's an overdose. Are they finished their days in some corner of disillusionment, suicide or something like that? You see, those kind of things cannot satisfy these girls. Thank God I belong to the number. I acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Lord. His authority, it was a command given that those who believe in him would be baptized. It is a confession that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ make when they acknowledge their association with him and his authority. Thirdly, what we have just observed tonight is not only a command and a confession, it is a copy. A copy of what? That was a facsimile. A copy. Now this is very important. You see, you say, that was a strange thing. I never saw that before, and I just do not know what that was all about. If you had to make a confession, why did they not have a register where they could take out a pen and they could sign their name? That I acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Lord. That's the kind of thing people do when they get married. They sign a register, and that's a... Why could we not just sign it? No, I'll tell you why it had to be like this. You just think back to what happened there 10 minutes ago. These girls went down into the water. They went underneath the water briefly, and then they came up out of the water. Now, do you know what that was a copy of? That was a copy of the death, the burial, and the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, if I signed a register, that wouldn't be a copy of it. If I give my fingerprint, if I got a few bits of water sprinkled on my head, Many people say that it's baptism. If you get a little bit of water sprinkled on your head, that is not baptism. That's dry cleaning. Baptism has to be this. You have to go down into the water. The Lord Jesus, when he died for our sins. They took him from the cross. He disappeared from view for 3 days. They put him in a grave. And on the third day, exactly as God had promised, he rose from the grave. He broke the power of death. They talk about breaking the sound barrier. Listen, people. We are here tonight to bear visible testimony to a Savior who has broken the death barrier. The mighty monarchs, some of the greatest kings and queens that ever sat on thrones, and they had armies of power, and they had parliaments behind them. Each one of them had to bow to the power of death. You know, Jesus Christ has conquered death. He not only entered into death, he not only experienced death, he has exploited death. I know that some of the gentlemen of scientific fame, they poo-poo the idea of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Why do I believe in the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ? I believe it because the Bible says it. And if this book says it, I say to all the folks, I'm delighted to see some younger folks here. I can identify with you because the Lord saved me when I was young. I was just starting to high school, and I tell you, it was the greatest event in my life. It stood me in good stead when I went to college, and I saw all the activity, and the drunkenness, and the drugs, and the promiscuity, and I saw the way that people lived with animal-like lust. I was glad that God had saved me, that I got to know Christ. Young people, don't allow the devil to cheat you. Don't allow the devil to make a fool of you. Don't allow the world to rob you of character and to rob you of all hope. I tell you this, the best moment in your life is when you will experience what Jemima and Rianne experienced. Turn to Christ. Trust in him. Have your sins forgiven. Not because you're a goody-goody person. Not because you're a holy-holy, a holy roller, as they talk about. None of those things. How do I know that my sins are forgiven? Why was I baptized? I was baptized just to acknowledge that everything that I had that was worth having, I owed it to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God. I tell you, that's the greatest event in history. That's the turning point in history. They talk about battles. They talk about the great events of the centuries. They talk about epoch-making events. Listen, I say this tonight. You see, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it was not only historical, it was historic. There are things that are historical, but they're not historic. They happen. Something happened on the 22nd of November, 1961. But so what? It happened. It's historical, but it doesn't matter to me today. Listen, the Lord Jesus not only died and rose again, but I tell you, it has an impact on our lives to this present hour. It's relevant. I used to think that Christianity was boring. I don't think I'm a boring person altogether. I used to think that Christianity was irrelevant. I used to think that Christianity wasn't true. I tell you, people, I've examined this book from cover to cover. I have put this business. I haven't been brainwashed. There was nobody got me into a little room and pushed this down my throat. I thought about it. I considered it carefully. I examined it. I rigorously scrutinized the thing from start to finish. And I came to the conclusion, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came from heaven to die on the cross, to bear the punishment for a sinner like me, the wisest thing that I can do is abandon my sin and put my trust in him for salvation. Thank God I did it. You say, but you're only a softie. You're a softie. No, well, not altogether. Not altogether. I tell you this. I'm skeptical about many things. I don't like to just accept things on face value. We have reasons for this. This is solid. This is something substantial. This is not the little waft of a myth or a fable. Thank God for the firm factual foundation of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. That's why it happened the way it did. Going down, going under, coming back up out. And you see, the point that we want to remember is this, that because of what Jesus Christ has done, not only does he have new life, he died, he lives. Oh, he sang it there, and this, you sang it very well. Up from the grave he arose. You know, when they put the Savior in the grave, he had suffered. His hands had been pierced. His side had been wounded. He voluntarily died. He had been abused. And he'd been hated and crucified. They led that precious body with the marks of crucifixion in the tomb. And he came struggling out of the tomb. Not at all, dear people. Up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph over his foes, he arose, a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. That's why it's a copy. He had it in reality. Jemima and Rianne have only experienced it in the copy, but they have gone through this because Christ has given to them resurrection life through faith in him. Lastly, you've done well, you've listened, I'm going to keep my promise. It's a command on the highest possible authority. Number two, it's a confession by these believers. You see, if Rianne and Jemima had never repented and trusted Christ, getting baptized is no use. You could get baptized 100 times and still go to hell. There's no merit, intrinsic merit in this particular ordinance. It's a great act of obedience. It's a confession, as I say, of identification. And I said it's a copy. Just as I stop, it's a challenge. A challenge to who? To everybody here. We have three groups of people here today. We have Christians here, like myself, who have been baptized. This happened to me on the first Sunday night in June 1972. I have seen it again, and it brings back afresh to my heart my commitment to a risen Christ. It's a challenge that those who are saved are already Christians and are baptized. It's a challenge to us to make sure that we live out the truth of our baptism in practice. What about the Christians here who are not baptized? There are some here tonight who have trusted Christ. Praise God for that. Some recently. Some maybe years ago. And you have never been baptized. Now all I say is this. The challenge to you is, it's great that you have taken the step of faith, united to Christ as Savior. The challenge of this baptism is this. Will you now take the step of obedience that acknowledges him? A challenge to Christians who are baptized. A challenge to Christians who are not yet baptized. And there's a third group in this building just now. And I want to speak quietly to you. This is a challenge to non-Christians. Are you a Christian? You say, no fear. I don't want to get involved in this. I want to keep this as a suspicious business. This is a suspicious very thing. I think this is a con. There's a bit of trickery here. I'm getting roped into something and I need to be very cautious. I say to you all, are you a Christian? How are you going to live your life? Again, I speak to my younger friends. I see younger people with so much potential. And my heart bleeds. There's a world out there, dear friend, that is hungry for your destruction. I want to tell you, if you were to get to know Christ, life could be altogether different. Would you make a change? You say, It's only softies and sissies that become Christians.
Well,
I want to challenge you on that one, because as far as I can see, the easiest path in life is to go with the flow. And any card
could listen to the call of the crowd and go with the majority down to hell. It takes someone ready to make a choice and make a change. Say, I'm stuck. This is a wasted life. I'm living in my sins, and I'll die in my sins, and I'll regret forever that I was ever born. Dear young people, you have life, you have a soul, you have the world to come to face. I say to you, the best advice that I could give tonight is you make sure you've trusted the very Saviour that Jemima and Rhiann have gotten to know. Thanks for listening. What is this? A command. A confession. A copy of Jesus' mighty death and resurrection. It's a challenge to every heart. May God grant we'll answer the question as appropriate in our own souls. Where do I go from here? Those of us whom God has saved, may God grant we live with greater devotion. Those who are still not saved, I hope this will become for you a night of choice, a night of change, a night of real conversion.